We've seen already in Revelation 17, as we've looked about the rise of this Babylon, and we've learned now that Babylon may be a place in the end, but what is it? What is it spoken of? Oh, now, come on. Haven't you been here?
Yes, I did.
Not sure what you're going for.
The system. It's the system.
The system.
The religious system.
Helping out.
Not only religious.
Oh, that part, yeah. And then the commercial.
The worldly.
Yeah. This is the one world order. We're going to look at the fall now in 18. We looked at the industrial. God bless you. Now we looked at the spiritual, and tonight we're going to look at the commercial, if you will, where all of this stuff is going to be gone. And we're going to see some wailing and weeping as never before by the kings and the merchants, those who are in power. So I'm going to pick up. Of course, I need to revise my statement here, because we're going to start in verse 4, but verse 4 says, I'm just going to read the lead in, and I heard another voice from heaven. Now, I went back to 18:1, because 18:1 starts, after these things, which we learned in 17, I saw another angel. So now in 4, it says, I heard another voice from heaven. Now I want you to read from, this is not the one. My King James has a little bit of different way that it's phrased in some of these verses in chapter 18, and I'm going to draw back to them, and it's subtle, but they're synonymous. It's just that the New King James doesn't read exactly like the King James. Excuse me. So we're going to start in verse 4. In verse 4, I get a lot of paper up here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to try not to be too shuffly with it. Verse 4 reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Yes, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. Now come out of her, come out of her. This is not the only place. Put your marker in Revelation 18. We're going to be going back and forth quite a little bit. So flip back to Isaiah 48.
So Gary, I don't understand your thunder, but do you believe this is an angel, or do you believe this is Jesus speaking?
I think this is the Lord himself.
Yeah.
I think this is a direct order from God to his people.
Yeah, so it's not the voice of an angel. It's
absolutely, but the first voice is the voice of an angel. And this one,
another voice.
Yeah, actually the King James says from the throne room.
Oh, wow.
So you've got written here a voice of another angel from the throne. Does it actually say that? Mine just says
it does not. Voice. It just says another voice.
I got you. Okay.
But the King James says from the throne room.
If it was Jesus, wouldn't the my people be capitalized?
So we talked about that in our elders' meeting. Is like it, if this is Jesus calling them out,
why isn't it capitalized?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I don't know.
But the Greek the Greek is not gonna, doesn't have that capitalization. That's something that the translators have done, right?
Probably so.
Yeah.
You know.
So those pronouns are not capitalized in the Greek.
Okay. Isaiah 48, look at verse 20. 48:20. Come out of her, my people. Verse 20 says, go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. So come out of her, my people. Now just flip over a few pages to Isaiah 52. So, who's my people?
Jacob.
Now, who's my people now?
So, his people are still Israel, but
and us. Who's my people here?
The church.
The church.
Israel. The Jews.
All believers, the church, the ecclesia. Yes. Okay. 52:11. Depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go out before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
The God of Israel.
Jeremiah 51. Ezekiel, Daniel. Where is that darn Jeremiah? Oh. Jeremiah 51. I'm trying to just keep you leading here instead of going back and forth.
It's working.
That's good. I ran out of bookmarkers, so I have to turn the pages.
You need some dollar bills.
Oh, I have some fives.
Like ones?
Tens.
Tens.
Very easy to keep track of. They're thicker.
Are they?
Okay, we're gonna look at verse 45. You there? My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land, a rumor will come one year, and after that in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon, for the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. And when we, as we get going in here, you're going to see this last part here will ring again in your ears that I just read. So come out of her. Lest you receive her plagues.
What do you suppose the carved image of Babylon is?
Idol.
What?
Idol.
Well, he mentions in verse 44 before where we started reading that it's the god Baal.
Yeah, but Baal is an idol.
Okay.
I thought you got that. Sorry.
Go back to verse 6 of that same chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. the nations drink her wine, therefore the nations are deranged. That's exactly
what we're going to look at here.
That's crazy.
Isn't that something? So when did Jeremiah prophesy? Anybody have an idea?
Before Daniel.
650?
Yeah, nearly 700 years.
7th century.
So it's a little... So it's near Daniel's time, because Daniel mentions him.
Probably so.
Is it like just before Daniel?
You know, I...
No, it's after Daniel.
Just a little...
After Daniel.
Well, Daniel mentions him, though.
Yeah, I think he's after Daniel. No, he's before Daniel.
Just a bit. I think you got your, yeah.
So if he was like 700, then Daniel's like 600, 605.
Before
the fall is Jeremiah.
Isn't it amazing how the Lord raised the voice of a prophet that many years before, and now we're looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John a lot of years later.
I was amazed as I've studied Daniel how many of the Old Testament around that time when they were taken captive in Babylon.
Yes.
So many of them were contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Just because they weren't in Israel doesn't mean they didn't prophesy. Yeah. Yep. Jeremiah 51 is the tale of the utter destruction of Babylon, the prophecy of the utter destruction of Babylon. I'm trying not to get too many verses, but anyway, so verse 5.
51.
For her sins. We're back in Revelation 18.
Oh.
We got our information out of that. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Put your marker. Get go to your marker. Yeah.
They're not mind readers.
Sorry.
That's okay.
First mistake I ever made.
And don't make another one, right?
Of course, that would be a lie.
Shall not.
Yes. So he says, lest you receive her plagues, verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Put your marker in. Let's turn back to Genesis 18. When you get there, you're going to, if you've ever studied this, which most of us, I think, have, this is where Abraham intercedes for Sodom. But in verse 20, it says, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the outcries against this terrible sin, this Sodom and Gomorrah, we're seeing the same thing here now, rise up in verse 5. For her sins have reached to heaven. Now, the King James reads like this. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Do you know what iniquities are? What are iniquities?
Sin.
Yes. Everything that's unrighteous. Everything that's unrighteous.
Unholy.
Exactly. That's, yes. Excuse me. So in Genesis, while we're writing Genesis, just go back a bit more to 6. And we're only going to look at just a few verses in 6. Much like we did in 18. Verse the wickedness of man. Verse 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord says, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Verse 5, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. So these things that men think nobody's looking, we're doing it in the dark. God sees. God sees. All right, Revelation 18 again. Verse 6, Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to the works in the cup which she has mixed. In that cup she has mixed, mix double for her. So let's look at, put your marker back in, Revelation 18. Let's go look at Ezekiel 28. Now this is a proclamation against the king of Tyre, but it's very synonymous to what we're looking at here. I'm going to start reading in verse 2. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel! Exclamation point. There's no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. But by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. Your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a god, little g god, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a god, little g god? But you shall be a man and not a god in the hand of him who slays you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens, for I have spoken, thus saith the Lord. Isaiah. Chapter 47. Now, before I read this, I'm going to read verse 7 in Revelation 18. You don't turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Verse 7 reads, we just read 6, and I will reiterate 6. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. Okay. Isaiah 47. Well, you need to put a marker in 18.
You're missing out back here.
That's why I got so many markers. Because there's a lot of looking back and forth here as you look to see what the Old Testament has to say. Isaiah 47 is titled The Humiliation of Babylon, by the way. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off your skirt. Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. As for our Redeemer, capital R, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance, those are capital M's, and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily. And you said, I shall be a lady forever. So that you did not take these things to heart. Nor remember the latter end of them. Verse 8, therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. Ooh. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. Verse 9, but these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your, what's that word?
Sorceries.
Where did we hear that before, Trap?
Babel.
Yeah. For the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you, and you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Verse 12, stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you. This is kind of good, isn't it? From what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before you. Thus shall they be to you, with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. Yep. You're learning, Al. We've got to go back to 18. Revelation 18. So, verse 7 again said, in the measure with that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. That's not really what the prophet said. So we have a therefore in verse 8. Verse 8, therefore, her plagues will come in, how fast? One day. Gee, didn't we just read that? Wasn't that just prophesied? One day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned. That's not the campfire. That's not the fire that you put on your desk. She will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. In one day. Is that literal? Is that figurative? I don't know. It's awfully fast. That's a big thing. I work.
Just about being literal, it's talking about a day, one day.
It says in Daniel 5:30 that the old Babylon fell in one day.
Yes, and there's a lot of one days referred to.
So it's going to be one day.
Yes.
Like it says there. So days from sun up to sundown.
Well, if that was literal, yeah. But it's going to be judged. All this is going to be done. All this prophecy is going to be completed. It says, in one day.
It was the Chaldeans that encouraged Nebuchadnezzar to enact the thing where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have to bow before the idol.
Right.
And they were thrown into a fiery
furnace.
And so God says, okay, you want fire as judgment? I'll give you fire.
I'll give you some fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a campfire. I'll give you some fire. And the men that threw them in there, remember?
They burned up.
Yes, they died from the heat.
They died. First.
And then the four of them walked around in there.
Where did God call Abraham out of?
Chaldeans.
The land of Ur, the Chaldeans.
That's right. Did you
get out of Babylon?
That's right. Come out of her. Come out of her. I mean, there's a lot of those. But now we're going to see how the world is going to mourn over the fall of this mighty Babylon.
You have an advantage because, or we have an advantage.
We have an advantage.
Because
yes.
In 18, I mean, it goes into 19, it does mention it does. Babylon in 19. But after 19, there's no more Babylon.
Nope.
So all these cycles that we're reading about cycles all the way back from Abraham, well, from Tower of Babel to Babylon,
right.
I mean, all Abraham, all that. But there is an end. There is an end.
It's coming.
And that's where we are.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. Burned. She will be utterly burned with fire. That's the last part of verse 8. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Utterly burned. Nothing left. You know, when a body is cremated, is there something left?
Ash.
Ash, from dust you have come, and to dust you shall be.
This big. A body this big.
Not Tom Spencer. He's got some square inches. God bless him. Okay. So the world now is going to start mourning and lamenting. And there is a refrain used here several times, and I wondered what it really truly defined as. So when we get to it, I of course went to my handy Webster to find out what Webster had to say, what this refrain alludes to. And the refrain is alas.
Alas?
Alas. Verse 9. 18 verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. And I'm going to go on to 10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying the refrain, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. There is that hour. So the refrain, before we go back into the Old Testament again, the refrain that Webster, that I copied here, that is repeated. So what, when there's repetition, does that ear put a little more importance upon it? Yes, it's building one upon the other. So according to Webster, that refrain, alas, is an exclamation, easy for me to say, exclamation of sorrow, grief, pity, concern, or apprehension of evil, expressing unhappy time. I'd say it kind of fits in there, doesn't it? In one day.
In 1 hour.
Excuse me, 1 hour, yes. I had 1 day in my mind, didn't I? I'm sorry. In 1 hour, that... We don't, you know, as I asked you earlier, we don't know if that's a literal 24-hour period, 12-hour period, we don't know, because we don't see time like God sees time. What's 1 day with God? For man, 1,000 years. So we don't really know for sure if it's even an hour. We don't know, but it's fast for all this to be accomplished. I mean, we've all probably burned things. Does it burn? Is it done like that?
You mean like when we're cooking?
Well,
I mean, my pile was burned the other day.
Yeah,
but I poured gas and everything.
Oh, you burn gas and
you used accelerant? Well, you're not God. I'm telling you right now.
It would be a better day with fast.
You can make it go quick.
You can't.
You need a lot of tumbleweeds. I've got some.
When the wind comes up, it's still smoldering some days.
That's true.
Oh, yeah,
especially if it's in the green. But yeah. This will be all-consuming. Utterly burned, it says. Utterly, in verse 8. So, these merchants, the kings, who committed, it says, fornication with her. What? What is that? Do you have? What does that allude to? That word, they committed fornication with her.
Idolatry.
That's right. Idolatry. That's.
So do you think this is just the merchandising? So I've wrestled with this. Is this the whole Babylonian system, or is it just the business?
This aspect? Sounds like just this is just the business part of the economic world that they've created.
Because they put their trust in the riches of this world.
Exactly.
Economics and materialism.
It's not just that. It's too. It's the trading of human souls.
So exactly. And
oh, boy.
Yeah. So there is a large gambit there of what it is.
Yeah.
Not only, I mean, they're used as slaves and mm-hmm. souls of men, mm-hmm. it reads. But that's quite an exhaustive list here, mm-hmm. as we're going to see. So right now, it's the kings of the earth who committed this idolatry, and they live luxuriously with her. They will weep and lament, wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure there's going to be some of that there. When they see the smoke of her burning, but they're standing at a distance for fear of this torment, her torment, it says. So they don't want to get any of that fire on them. When you, there's an old joke, I was raised with a lot of Paiute Indians, and when an Indian builds a fire, he builds a little tiny fire and he gets up really close. But when a white guy builds a fire, it's huge and you can't get close and it fries one side and you freeze the other.
Right.
So they used to make fun of us white kids. You guys don't know nothing. Anyway. But
we went
out to make a s'more. So because they're standing at a different distance, because they don't want to get any on them for fear of this torment. If I get too close, just like the guards that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, mm-hmm. the heat must be intense. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they realize this is judgment at that point, or are they just...
Oh, I don't think
no, they're just afraid right now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
If there is, James, it doesn't say anything about that. It just says they're standing way back. And my feeble mind says they don't want to get any of this judgment on them.
But they get mad at God. So
well, of course they do. But then they say, they lament. They go, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in 1 hour your judgment has come. Oh, and then look now. It was the kings in verse 9. In verse 11. Well, let me back up before we get to 11. Put your marker back in 18. Go back to Ezekiel. You could have put a marker in Ezekiel if you wanted to, because we're going to. Ezekiel 26. And we're going to look at 27 also. But 26, we're going to start in verse 16 of Ezekiel 26, 16, and 17. We're just going to look at these two. Then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, take off their embroidered garments, and they will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city. This is talking about the judgment of Tyre, by the way. Who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I made you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, When I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living. And, excuse me, I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more, though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God.
Down to the pit, the lowest part of the earth.
Yes, indeed.
It's like there's a higher part there where it's not so high.
Oh, I don't know, Daniel.
There are different levels.
I don't know.
It's all pit, not for me.
Yeah. And just one verse in 27. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you, and their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the people will hiss at you, and you'll become a horror and be no more forever.
Where are you?
That was 27.
35 and 36. So there's a lot of scholars that believe that the king of Tyre was representative of Satan.
I think so too.
Well, that part of it, that one part, not exactly the king.
The beast.
Yeah, I think so too. The more I get a little understanding, which thanks to you, I've cleaned quite a bit. But
yeah. Believe Tyre is where the Gaza Strip is right now.
Yeah,
I think
that's it.
No, it's north of that.
Is it north?
Is it?
Way north of that. It's not in Israel anymore.
Oh.
So there's a city of Tyre, and there's a country of Tyre that's above, that's north of Israel. So it looks like Tyre was.
Because Tyre was a city was on the coast.
Yes.
At this time.
Was it Tyre Asher?
No.
In Joshua.
Yeah, it is. It's in Asher.
Yeah.
So Tyre's in the north of Asher, but then the country of Tyre is above, is north of Israel here, outside of Israel. But here's a city, Tyre, right there in Asher.
That's on the coast.
That would be.
But modern day.
Where Lebanon is now.
But now, modern day, yeah, I think so.
It's Lebanon?
Oh, yeah.
Or Syria. It might be Syria. It might be Lebanon. I'm not sure.
Okay. Revelation 18, verse 11. And the merchants, we just saw that the kings are weeping and lamenting, and they are wringing their hands and saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon. Now the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of, here we go, here's the list. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Verse 13, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine, and oil, fine flour, and wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses, and chariots, and
bodies,
and souls of men. Oh my. Put your marker in. Ezekiel. Just leave your marker in Ezekiel 27. We're going to start in verse 12. Ezekiel 27:12. Tarshish And it's my study Bible says this could have been in Spain. Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. Chavan, Tubal, and Meshech were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. Those from the house of Togarma traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payment. Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares, Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of the goods you made. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise wheat of Minith, millet, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items, with the wine of Helbon and with white wool. Dan and Javan paid for your wares, traversing back and forth. Wrought iron, cassia, and cane were among your merchandise. Dedan was your merchant in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your regular merchants. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah were your merchants. They traded for your wares the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Kena, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, and Chilmad were your merchants. These were your merchants in choice items, in purple clothes, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords, which were in your marketplace. The ships of Tarshish were carriers. You were filled and very glorious in the midst of the seas. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you and the entire company which is in your midst will fall in the midst of the, entire company which is in your midst will fall in the midst of the seas on the day of your ruin. The common land will shake with the sound of the cry of your pilots. All who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea will come down from the ships and stand on the shore. They will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly, cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth, and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. In their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? When your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. But you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the people will hiss at you. you will become a whore and be no more forever. Judged.
About that purple. Are they talking
about? Isn't that something? The purple is mentioned over and over. What is the significance of purple?
Remember, what's her name? Lydia?
Was
she made that?
Yeah, royalty.
Yeah.
Yes. Higher caste. Mm-hmm. Who can wear purple?
It's just so exciting to know that you can go back and find where all of Revelation is coming from.
Isn't it amazing? So, what kind of a robe was Mordecai clothed in? Do you remember?
Well,
and Esther. Mordecai was the king's robe was purple.
Where did
I
get that ink from?
I don't. It must be very rare because it's a sought after thing.
Color. They had the color of the fabric.
And they're right next to silver and gold and purple. It's good stuff.
I don't know.
Dealt with that.
See, you got it. Some people have it, but
okay. So 14 in Revelation 18. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Whew. It was all right there in 27. The merchants, verse 15.
Shellfish.
Yeah.
They came from shellfish, the color purple.
Okay.
I knew I saw it somewhere. I got it.
Thank you. So you couldn't get that inland. Not too many shellfish are living inland.
Lydia, she's in Acts 16:14, talks about the seller of such expensive garments.
Mm-hmm. So now in verse 15, we're going to see that the merchants of all these things, because it says of these things, who became rich by her, Babylon, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment. So the king stood back and wept and lamented, and now the merchants are standing back. So they don't want to get any of this on them either. And saying, verse 16, alas, alas, that refrain again, for fear. For fear. That great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Verse 17. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. We read already, and you'll remember now when I read this last part of verse 17, every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, they all stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Then, verse 19, they threw dust on their heads. You remember that from the prophet? And cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. No more, the prophet said, no more. Utterly destroyed.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about literal and figurative, and what I get from this, though, is regardless of whether it's 1 hour, it didn't take much time at all. It's like I picture these people that have worked so hard to get where they're at.
Yeah,
looking at this,
so
like,
where?
And it's gone. You know, so I tend to believe it's 1 hour.
Well, said, but the old city went in 1 hour.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
But it's just really interesting to really get the gist of what these people are feeling, I guess, looking at this. It's like 1 hour.
Yeah. Travis, you ever go to a house fire and the people are standing there looking at what's left of their house?
God shall come to pass.
Think maybe that those people have a list, an inkling of what these people are.
Forgotten 70 years.
Looking at the city burning. And
everything we ever had was in this house.
Yeah. We went to a house fire one time and we had to get the guy out of the house because he was literally going back in, getting guns, getting his stuff out, trying to get his stuff out. And it was becoming dangerous that it was going to collapse. And so when you're just standing there watching it burn, it's hopelessness.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. The helpless, hopeless feeling that everything, if your house burned down and you're standing there looking at what the fire department saved, the footings.
That's right.
We're good at that.
Well, yeah. I can
have your insurance policy and the rest of it.
But if you can put yourself in that position, all the stuff, all the stuff that you've gathered is gone. You're helpless.
Well,
my car's burned up. My truck, whatever, is burned up. Whatever it is, it's just gone.
It's all going to burn up at the end.
That's what exactly.
Anyway.
So these people aren't, you know, these people don't think that way.
Oh, they don't know.
So, like, they
truth.
Put their store in their stuff, they're staring at their stuff being destroyed.
Yeah.
Well, that's the analogy that
right.
I'm wanting to draw so you can get some perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never had my house burned down, thank you, Lord. I've got some stuff I really love.
We do have
and
some.
That's too bad. For
probably
me.
On fire right now, dear.
Could be. Just as long as the dogs get out.
And Cheryl, right?
Well, she's in a basketball.
That was good.
Ouch.
We won't yell Cheryl.
She's
put that on the internet,
Dan. Yeah. Neener. Oh. No, she's at a basketball game right now. Or maybe. It might be over by now. Well,
like
we
said, it's all God's.
It is. We're about halfway through what I have here. So I think we're going to proceed next week, and we're going to come to another perspective in Revelation of what's going to go on in heaven when Babylon the Great is fallen.
We're going to be up there. Hooray!
So we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, if he comes before them. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, Gary, for all your research. Wow.
Well, but I left a lot out, guys, because there was a lot there, and I knew there was no way I could do
but
it.
You did do a lot of research.
Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. This, you never change. You're the same yesterday, you're the same today, and you will be the same forever. So, Father, that your prophets of old, hundreds and hundreds of years before, even this, thousands of years since then to now, a couple of thousand, by the way, Lord, we just thank you that you've left your word to encourage us, to show us this revelation that you give us to know. As you said to your disciples and your apostles when you were here, I tell you these things now so that when it happens, you won't be taken off guard. You won't be surprised. You won't go to the mountaintop. You'll know of all these things as they happen. Lord, be with your people as we at times struggle in this lifetime. We know that by the power of your Spirit, that Nothing is new under the sun, and yet our days are new day by day. But you know every day, and you've marked each one for us. So, Father, help us to walk in your word day by day, to speak the truth in love, to say to that all that we say and all that we do would only glorify you. And Lord, dying to self is a tough, tough thing, but yet we can do that if we avail ourselves to your Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for you, your Holy Spirit, as you imbue and indwell in your creation. And we will be careful to give you the glory and you the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.